Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. This week we had three big conversations, so we're putting them out as three separate podcasts. This particular podcast is focused on Senator Alex Padilla, the Democrat from California, the first Latino to ever represent the state in the U.S. Senate, and the son of Mexican immigrants. He came out strongly against President Biden's executive action, which limits the number of asylum cases over 2,500 a day. And some have called it sort of shutting down the border, although it really hasn't shut down the border. A lot of Republicans say it's too little too late, say it's politically motivated. Many Democrats agree with the president's executive action, but Padilla, part of the Democratic group, mostly on the left, who think that it's too tough and potentially illegal. So here is our conversation with Senator Padilla about that and about baseball. This is via Zoom, so the sound quality isn't perfect, but you get a sense of what it is.
Senator Padilla, welcome back to The Issue Is. Good to see you.
Thank you, Alex. Good to be back.
So President Biden says the border is basically being overrun. Republicans won't do anything. So I've got to do this executive order to try to bring some control to the situation. Where is he wrong?
So look, I get the frustration, and I'm definitely not in the do nothing camp. I am disappointed because I wish there would be a smarter, more effective way to go about it. If the concern is that there's too many people coming to the southern border to seek asylum, which is allowed, by the way, based on federal law and international law, then let's ask the questions, who are they? Where are they coming from, and why are they coming? Because it's not until we recognize and address the root causes of that migration that we're going to reduce the numbers sustainably. Many people may be fleeing persecution, authoritarian governments, the very reasons we have an asylum system in place to begin with. But if we address root causes, we can reduce the numbers that way. But in the meantime, we have to honor the humanitarian obligations that we have made to treat asylum seekers with respect, give them due process. Maybe some qualify, meet the criteria for asylum. There's a process for that. And those that don't, well, then, of course, those are determinations and consequences as a result. But the answer is not to make it impossible to seek asylum. And the answer is certainly not to just establish an arbitrary number to cut people off, regardless of how legitimate their claims may be.
Well, he's not making it impossible for people to seek asylum. You can still go to a port of entry and seek asylum under this. So what would you propose that's different that you think would work better?
Yeah. So while they say this is not an asylum ban, you can still go to the ports of entry. Even then, it's only if you have an appointment, which are very limited in the number of appointments available on a daily and weekly basis at ports of entry. So whether the figure is 1,500, 2,500, whatever that number is, imagine if you're the person next in line. And if you return home, it could mean not just your safety, but your life. Is on the line. That's just, it's cruel and it's unnecessary. You know, if we want to really address the number of people coming to the southern border, then again, let's identify and address those root causes. For some people, they may say asylum, but they're really seeking economic opportunity. Others are very honest and they're coming to the United States in search of a job. Last I've heard, Alex, from employers across industry is that we have a worker shortage in America. We have a strong economy thanks to the policies of the Biden administration to keep it going. We need more workers. So imagine pairing people who are looking for work with employers who are native workers. It's legal migration at that point if we expand those visa categories, and good for the economy and takes pressure off of unlawful migration. That's not reflected, though, in this executive order, nor was it really a priority in the bipartisan Senate negotiations over the last several months. And the last thing else, I have to emphasize this. One of my big concerns is what has seemed to have been left behind. And that's any relief for Dreamers, any protection for farm workers, or any other relief for long-term residents of the United States who happen to be undocumented but are contributing so much to our communities and to our economy.
You look at most swing state polls, President Biden is behind right now. and he is way behind on the issue of immigration. Do you think that the president is doing this as sort of a crass reelection move because he's afraid of the immigration issue? Do you think this is all about politics?
I don't think it's all about politics. I know it's an election year and most people are viewing it as just through that political lens. And for those who do and would say, look, you know, getting tough on the border is going to poll well, I'd suggest this. What's better than getting tough on the border is getting smarter on the border. And the polls and research that I've seen say, yes, most Americans, Democrats and Republicans, do want a secure, orderly, and humane border, but they also want justice and fairness for Dreamers and farm workers and so many others. But when you couple those policies together, that polls tremendously well across the board. Again, Republicans and Democrats alike, but that's not what's reflected in this executive order. That's not what was reflected in the bipartisan Senate framework from a few months ago.
So Republicans seem like they're not going to move on this. So the president is basically saying, I got to do what I got to do. If you're in charge and you're the president without being able to work with Congress on this, what do you do in this moment?
Yeah, again, let's not let Republicans off the hook here. Because they can't have it both ways. We can't forgive their hypocrisy. They can't say there's a crisis at the border and then vote down reforms or vote down resources for the very departments and agencies that we charge with managing the border. In the meantime, what do we do? We can do what we've been doing more recently. Like I said, the numbers are down these last couple of months because the Biden administration has engaged officials in Mexico. We need to continue that and build on that, engage more partners in Central and South America. This migration issue, Alex, is not just a southern border of the United States issue. It's a hemispheric issue that requires a hemispheric solution.
Want to just get you real quick on some other news of the day. Wall Street Journal out with an article suggesting that they've spoken to people that are both Democrats and Republicans that are concerned about President Biden behind the scenes in meetings, suggesting that his age is catching up to him. Some Democrats pushing back on that hard. As somebody who's met with the president, I'm wondering your response on that and where you see things right now in terms of his cognitive ability. Are you concerned?
Yeah, I'm not concerned and take issue with the folks who spoke but refused to be named in that article. As someone who does see the president in person on a pretty regular basis, I can tell you he is as sharp and knowledgeable as ever, and I have absolutely no concerns and will do everything I can to ensure he's reelected this November.
And just something fun, next week is the congressional baseball game, and I understand you are going to be pitching. So I'm wondering, can you walk us through your preparation process? Have you talked to your guy, Fernando Valenzuela, for some advice? What's going through your mind in terms of that?
So as I've talked to my wife, Angela, and my three boys, number one, don't hurt yourself. So we're, you know, we're stretching, we're exercising, we're trying to make sure that we can get through the game unscathed. Number two, my priority, try not to embarrass myself. So we're not going to try to overdo it. We're going to keep it simple. We're going to go out there and have some fun for a good cause. It's an annual congressional baseball game that raises money for local charities. You know, the YMCAs here in the District of Columbia region, the Capitol Police Foundation and others are beneficiaries. So it's been fun to be back out in the field. Flashbacks to my Little League days, my high school baseball days. Lived vicariously through my kids, as you know, these last few years, helping coach Little League. But to be out on the field myself, I got to tell you, it feels good.
So is it a fastball? Is it a slider? Is it a curveball? What is the Alex Padilla pitching repertoire that we should be looking forward to?
Well, there used to be a fastball and an off speed and a split finger, but these days I'm happy just throwing strikes.
Okay. And if only Washington would follow that model, just throw some strikes. Well, good luck. We'll be watching that on TV next week. Always great to catch up with you. Senator Alex Padilla, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Alex. We'll talk soon.
Our thanks to Senator Padilla for that conversation. We look forward to watching him play baseball. This week, we also talked with conservative commentator Dave Rubin, and Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show. We put those out as separate podcasts. We hope you will click on those as well. Like and subscribe to our page. Let me know what you think in social media. Thanks so much for listening to The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson.